This is a TalkStation original podcast.
This afternoon, we have joining us a very special guest, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. He's in town for a variety of events. He was at the Carteret Speedway earlier today. You're headed to another function later on this afternoon, I understand. Let's start off with, and this I'm doing for a reason, not only for the benefit of the audience knowing something about not only the lieutenant governor, but the candidate, Republican candidate for governor of North Carolina. Sure. Who is Mark Robinson?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here. I am Captain Everybody. I'm Joe Everybody. I'm an individual who was not intimately involved in the political realm prior to 2018. I went viral for a speech that I made at the city council, which shows you the power of going viral, I guess. Ended up running for office and chose to run for lieutenant governor, the second highest office in the state, and went from being, literally, from being a factory worker, working on the factory floor, to being the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. And it's been a strange odyssey, but it's been a good one.
I appreciate that comment about a strange odyssey. And I'm going to say that that was one of the reasons why I wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. Here you had an experience which you say went viral, but there's another aspect of that, the message. I think the message is what resonated, is it not?
I believe it was too. Mm-hmm. It was a number of factors that went into that speech going viral. The number one factor, of course, was the content. What I spoke about, and you know, people narrow it down to a gun rights issue. I narrow it down to a freedom issue and an issue of fairness, you know, and the issue of fair play. So many people in this country get up every day and go to work and work hard for their families, and oftentimes they're the last ones considered. And I mentioned that in my speech, and those were the people that I was speaking up for. You know, at the time when I gave the speech, I didn't even own a firearm. The night was centered certainly around the Second Amendment and the freedom thereof. But it was more than that. And, you know, and I'm going to be completely honest, and others have told me this, and I completely agree. It was a moment where people looked and saw someone who did not look like them, but thought like them and said, wow, I'm not alone. There are people all over this country, no matter what they look like, they look just like me. This is a shared ideal amongst multiple groups of people.
Not an intended question, but it leads to another observation and a question I have. And that is engagement. And here you are, a citizen, Joe Citizen, who stepped before a county commissioner's meeting, as I recall?
City council
meeting. What would you say to anybody listening to this conversation right now about the benefit of being engaged, actually stepping up to this podium?
That is the first step. Everybody talks about taking America back. Talk about taking it back from the corrupt politicians, the corrupt leadership, no matter where it may be, whether it be in business, whether it be in government, whether it be in education. The first step to, quote, take America back and put the power where it belongs is the citizenry has got to become engaged once again. We've got to know who we're voting for and why we're voting for them and hold them accountable. Engagement is the very first step that we need to make. I took that step that night and it turned out turn into this fantastic tale for me. It's actually true, but even in the smallest sense, if you can make a difference for your family in the smallest sense by getting engaged, we all need to do that.
My co-host of my program here on Viewpoints years ago used to say, government goes to those who show up.
That's right. That's right.
Were you surprised by the outcome? Here you are, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina.
The immediate outcome of the going viral, I was very surprised because I tell people this all the time. After I gave that speech, I wasn't even sure what I said. And I remember leaving the hall, and as I was going out the doors, four police officers approached me, and I said, well, I must have said something wrong because I'm about to go to jail. And they all came up, and they shook my hand. I got home. My wife asked me if I went to the meeting. I said, yes. She said, did you speak? I said, yes. She said, what did you say? I said, I don't know. And then immediately, just the next day, it was online, and it immediately started.
You're now Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. Yes. What have you learned in your past 3 years in this capacity?
I've learned a lot of things that I speculated about and things that I had theories about how government works. And now I completely believe it. One of the things, and this is the thing that I think is would serve me well as governor, is that government is split into two parts. Government is the legislative side of government here in the state, and there's a business side. The legislative side is slow and deliberate, and it should be. When you're passing laws that are going to affect people for decades possibly and in very demonstrative ways, We should make sure that we are following our state constitution, our federal constitution, that we dot every I, cross every T to make sure we get the desired results. We need to take our time with legislation. Go over and over it again to make sure we're crafting that legislation so we get the desired result out of it. Hasty legislation passed oftentimes has terrible results. Think about the Patriot Act. And so we need to take our time on that side of the aisle. However, that slow and deliberateness in government on the legislative side often transfers into the service side. Agencies like DOT, DEQ, DHHS, and others. We cannot allow that to happen because those agencies literally hold the cards in their hand for the success of people's businesses and their jobs. Those agencies need to be modernized. They need to be flexible. They need to be up to date. And number one, they need to be service oriented. And that's where we want to get to in this state.
In 3 years, you've learned a lot. Let me just go back to something. I asked earlier, who is Mark Robinson?
Yes.
You're articulate. Our conversation right now is not pre-planned. You didn't even know what questions I was going to ask you.
Sure.
Something about you seems to be very smooth, very easy about the conversation, your thoughts. What's your background that gives you that experience? Are you just a genius?
No, I'm not. I'm not a genius. I'm number 9 of 10 kids.
Okay.
By the time the pan got to me, it was almost empty. So we had to be quick on our feet.
Okay. You were.
No, it's just that my wife will tell you, and I'll tell you openly, there was a time in my life when I thought I wanted to be Dirty Harry or Rambo or some tough guy, Chuck Norris. And then one day I was happened to be reading a book about the Iroquois Indians as I was studying history at UNCG. And something was getting on my nerves. And I realized what was getting on my nerves was this football game was on television. And I turned it off. And when I turned that off, I turned that book and I looked at it and said, you know what? I am a nerd. Because I love things like this. I love to study. I love to read. I love to think about things. I love to contemplate things. I love to ask questions. And the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to about being governor is getting to work, doing the work with those state agencies, actually getting out here on the ground, meeting people, finding out what their needs are, finding out where the demands are, and trying to meet those demands.
I think it's important, and this goes back to my comment, who is Mark Robinson? And I think this is one of the issues that the voters want to know.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of times in the mainstream media tries to portray me as some type of maniac who's going to go in the office and start stealing everybody's constitutional rights. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm 100% believer that when I was a social media influencer, I wanted people to read my page and read my opinion. When I became an activist, I want to advocate for the folks that I was advocating for, and I want them to hear our opinion. But when I became an elected official, I realized something. My opinion comes to a table, and it comes to a table with 120 House members here in North Carolina, 50 senators, a governor and a lieutenant governor. What comes off of that table is something called consensus. Now, if you're not mature enough to accept consensus when it comes off that table, you don't need to be an elected official. You should go back to being an activist, because what happens if that consensus is not satisfying to your opinions and the things you believe, what you do is you return to your corner and work on better arguments to get something that will be closer to what you want. But you can't have everything you want, and you certainly cannot govern based on your opinion.
In the campaign for the primary, your opponent, Dale Falwell particularly, was critical of you relative to your participation in certain meetings and programs. Any comments to that?
No, absolutely no comment whatsoever. Negativity in campaigns is not something that I'm interested in,
okay.
Particularly not personal attacks. I particularly have a very high standard against standing
okay.
from that.
Another critical remark has been made about you, and as a matter of fact, I would argue even to the point of demonization. Mm-hmm. You went from a city environment to a state environment. You're now a national candidate, interestingly mm-hmm. enough, for sure. The state of North Carolina, no less. The demonization is my description of it. The harsh criticisms of you, how do they make you feel? What kind of response do you get that?
I tell everybody. So I grew up... I grew up riding a school bus, Greensboro City Schools. I attended Greensboro City Schools, and I rode the school bus out of some of the worst neighborhoods in Greensboro. And you can imagine some of the things that were said on those school buses. I have very thick skin. I mean, I rode the school bus growing up. I watched All in the Family and Blazing Saddles growing up. My skin is very thick. When it comes to these personal attacks that folks are levying against me, number one, most of them are patently false. the insinuation that somehow I'm anti-Semitic is ridiculous. I tell people all the time, if I'm anti-Semitic, why is it that not only was I standing with Israel in Raleigh by declaring a day of solidarity, 1 month after the attack on Israel, I was actually standing in the nation of Israel with the Israeli people in a war zone, standing in a war zone with these people to show solidarity with them, because I know how important it is for America to stay in concert with them.
Let's talk about your opinion as to why these attacks have been personal, by the way. They have not been based on policies or any other activity. They've all been pretty personal, and to your point, basically assumptions about what you think and your approach to things.
The number one reason is because the left does not want to talk about the issues.
Okay.
They don't want to talk about the issues. Let's come here to North Carolina. The left does not want to talk about the fact that when Josh Stein and Democrats were in charge of the legislature, we were $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government. Mm-hmm. We were furloughing state workers because we couldn't pay them, and teachers did not get a raise for 6 whole years. Nobody wanted to come here and do business. They don't want to talk about the fact that after Republicans took over 13 years later, we now find ourselves not in debt to the federal government, not one dime. We have a $5 billion surplus, and we're the number one business destination 2 years running. We have more small business filings in this state in the last 2 years than we ever had in our history. Folks want to come here and do business. We're giving parents the right to choose their children's educational destiny. Everything is a go here in North Carolina because of conservative Republican policies. The left does not want to talk about that. As well, they do not want to talk about the myriad of problems we're having at the national level because of bad Democratic policy. They want to stay as far away from the real issues as possible. And the second reason why they demonize me is because they feel they have to, because they know that if I'm elected here in North Carolina and if I do a great job, it can quite possibly change the voting dynamics of North Carolina for decades to come.
Hi, I'm Mike Holmes, professional contractor and TV host. I love helping people, but when it came to improving the water in my own home, I needed help and turned to the water experts at Kinetico to make it right. My water was causing visible problems throughout my home, and it got me thinking about the problems I couldn't see. Protecting my water using appliances and pipes, preventing stains and hardness buildup, and having clean, great-tasting drinking water are all important to me. But choosing the right water treatment equipment can be tricky. That's where Kinetico comes in. A Kinetico water expert will test your water for free and recommend the system that fits your needs and budget. Improve the quality of your water and your life with the Kinetico water treatment system. I'm so glad I did.
Call Advanced Water Systems today, your local authorized Kinetico dealer. Call 223-4444. That's 223-4444 or 1-800-865-1208. Experts agree, Kinetico treats water best.
We're talking with North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson for just a few more moments. I really appreciate him taking his time. I've still got a few questions to ask you. And before we get to the campaign issue here in a moment, what is your expectation now for the short session? You have one last session as lieutenant governor and then move to the campaign.
I have not had those conversations, and I don't talk about what goes on in Raleigh or what I expect out of the legislature until I have explicit conversations with the leadership and the other folks in the legislature. One of the things that we did from the very beginning of our tenure as lieutenant governor was we set out to build a great relationship with the legislature. And the hallmark of that has been that we've been in concert with them at every step. We never speak out of turn about what we believe they're going to do. Before we say anything about the direction they're going in, we like to know for a fact and like to have it straight from the horse's mouth. And so I have not had those conversations yet. I've had some, but not enough to actually tell folks where I believe it's going.
I think you've shared with us your analysis of this legislature, and of course, I would say including this past session. Let me ask your observation about the governor's leadership over the past going on 8 years.
There has been no leadership. The most leadership that Roy Cooper can brag about is shutting down people's businesses, telling them they're non-essential, and telling them they can't go to church. Those have been the biggest accomplishments that this man has made since he's been in office. He's not been a great administrator over the state agencies that we've had to continue to help business to grow. He has not been a person who's been willing to reach across the aisle. And he certainly has not been a person who's lived up to his word when it comes to equality in this state. And I'll tell you why. Roy Cooper has never acknowledged the fact that we have our first black lieutenant governor. Now, he talks a lot about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but apparently the line for diversity, equity, and inclusion stops at the Republican Party, because Roy Cooper has had several chances to congratulate me on the accomplishment of being the first black lieutenant governor, and he has never taken it. And I think it speaks volumes about who he is.
As a matter of fact, he complained bitterly about the failure of having enough diversity in various departments.
Absolutely.
But he ignored you.
At every turn.
We're talking with the lieutenant governor, who, by the way, is African-American, black, whatever. But frankly, you don't wear that.
You really do not wear that.
And you're in our entire conversation. All right. Now let's move to the campaign before we wrap things up. How is the campaign going for you?
Campaign is going excellent. I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter what part of state that I travel to. I'll just give you one example. I was in Rocky Mount. You know, Rocky Mount's a great town, but sometimes Rocky Mount gets a bad rap.
Right.
Rocky Mount is a great town, and we love it. We love the people there. But I was in a store, and it was in a very urban area. And I walked in, and there was a very urban-looking guy there. He had, you know, the cornrows in his right. head and a wife beater T-shirt. He saw me, and this guy went nuts. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. It's Mark Robinson. And he was telling his friends, you guys don't know who this is. It's the first black lieutenant governor of North Carolina. And I'm looking, going, wow, you know. Our reach has just become phenomenal. Everywhere we go, there are people cheering us on, people that know us shaking our hands, telling they're going to support us. So we see it in every corner.
You know, your campaign, though, has become a national campaign.
Sure. When we won our primary that night, I got calls from governors all across the country. I got calls from supporters all across the country. We have a national appeal. People want us to win this seat. They know how important it is, not only for Republicans to win this seat, but as we talked about, they know the dynamics and how the dynamics can shift should I become governor of this state. They love our message. They love our vision. They love our passion. And because of that, our campaign is firing on all cylinders.
I know that Josh Stein started out with a pretty hefty war chest. Mm-hmm. How is your campaign funding going?
Our campaign financing is going well.
Okay.
Now I'm not going to say well. It's going phenomenal. Compared to other Republican governors in the past, we're far ahead of those numbers, far, far ahead of those numbers. And I think we're going to exceed those numbers in the coming months because folks really want to pour into our campaign because they really believe in us. The thing that I don't ever worry about, though, I don't ever worry about Josh Stein having more money than us. Why? Sheree Beasley had more money than Ted Budd.
That's right.
Stacey Abrams had more money than the current governor of Georgia. She spent $102 million trying to become governor, and she still lost. It's not about the money. It's about the message. It's not about the dollars. It's about how demonstrative you are and how successful you are in transferring your vision to the people of the state. And we believe we can beat Josh Stein on that every day of the week.
The issue of endorsements, you've gotten, of course, President Trump's endorsement.
Sure.
You've got Senator Berger's endorsement.
Sure.
How important are the endorsements?
I think they're very important. Endorsements tend to be very important because it lends credibility to your campaign. Sometimes endorsements can hurt a little bit, sting a little bit in the beginning. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, endorsements help campaigns a great deal. And again, it's all about who it is and who the endorsement is coming from. But certainly, we stepped up early and endorsed President Trump. And I'm very demonstrative about supporting him.
You know, interestingly enough, you were more Trumpian than Trump is at some points. Your message has not changed, has it, since that event in 2018?
No, it hasn't. My message has not changed. Now, I can tell you clearly that my methods have because I've switched buckets. I've gone from social media influencer to advocate to now elected official. But my heart is still in the same place. My heart is still with our Constitution. My heart is still with freedom and independence for people. And my heart is still with the state of North Carolina.
Whose coattails are going to be stronger, yours or President Trump's in North Carolina?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure his will be based on the vote count. And, I just want to take a minute to say thank you to everybody who voted for us in the primary. You know, we had an outstanding result in that race. We got more votes than anyone in the state except for President Trump. We even got more votes than President Biden, who ran unopposed. We got 60,000 more votes than the current sitting president. We have the support and the love that we've been shown by the people of North Carolina has been incredible.
What are you hearing in your travels from your constituents and also from your in the campaign activities?
The thing that encourages us the most, no matter what section of the state we may be in, no matter what community we may be in, we're hearing the exact opposite of what the mainstream media is preaching. people want to talk about the solutions, and they want to talk about the issues, and they want solutions to the issues. And when they hear them, when they hear vision and solutions to the issues that they're facing, they get excited. That's what they want. They don't want to talk about this salaciousness about what somebody said on Facebook in 2010. They want to know, what are you going to do to help me keep my job going? What are you going to do to help my kids' school down there that's failing? What are you going to do to help North Carolina grow? And when you tell them your vision and show them your solutions and your intentions, they get super excited about it.
What are the top campaign issues for you? Is randomly the top five.
It's easy. For me, it's all about the economy and it's all about education. Now, let's hit the economy real quick. Why are we talking about the economy? Folks will say, well, you're talking about the economy. What we want to do with our economy right now, with the groundwork the legislature has led us and got us in such great shape, is we want to start working on programs that are going to help this economy grow from Murphy to Manio. We all know that North Carolina's economy right now does not do that. You go to some sections that have much less opportunities than others. Well, I won't say less opportunities. I'll say opportunities not taken advantage of. It's time to start taking advantage of those opportunities. We couldn't do it in the past because we're broke. We're not broke anymore. We can make those investments in those people and places to start that process to grow the economy. And when I mention the economy, people say, well, you left out public safety. You left out healthcare. You can't leave those out when you talk about the economy. The governor is in charge of putting a person over DOT, which is infrastructure, the school board, which is public education, DHHS, which is healthcare, DEQ, which is our environment, and DPS, which is public safety. Those are the pillars that our economy stands on. So as the governor works with those agencies, he's working to continue to build the state. That's why it's so important to have a governor who is focused on those issues. When it comes to public education, I separate that one out. We've got a ton of work to do in our education sphere. We've got to start teaching our children to read, write, and do arithmetic again. And we got to start getting our children career ready, not college ready, but career ready, to make sure when they step out at 12th grade, they just don't have a sound basic education. They have a world-class education that gets them ready for the needs that they're going to have to meet on the world stage. And that's going to be our goals as governor.
Again, our guest, and I want to thank him for being with us, but I got to give you one last opportunity, Governor Robinson, and that is, what would you like to say to the audience? And don't forget, how can people find out more information about you?
We just want to say thank you to all the great people of North Carolina. I assure you, should we be elected, we will be there to serve everyone, not just the people who voted for us, but the entire state, because we want to see the entire state grow. If you want to learn more about me and learn more about our vision, you can go to markrobinsonfornc.com. That's markrobinson, FORNC.com. You can find out all about me and do all the associated things.
It's Viewpoints on the Talk Station. Our special thanks to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm J.J. Smith.
And I'm Zach Nally.
And we're Carteret County News Times reporters and host of the new podcast, Paper Boys.
Join us each week as we bring you exclusives with coaches and athletes, tournament organizers, and newsmakers in the world of sports.
We'll cover high school football, basketball, and so much more, as well as catch up with former star athletes from our county and beyond.
Listen every week to the Paper Boys podcast, streaming now on Spotify, YouTube, and at CarolinaCoastOnline.com. New episodes every Friday.